In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We must always remember this law, that when the law is used, grace is thrown out of the window. We must always remember that it is we live under grace through the power of Jesus Christ's cross, blood, death, and resurrection. So we saw that the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Why are you picking wheat on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus said something like, "David went into the temple and he ate the holy bread." And then he says, "The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Then Jesus talks about, where do we put this new wine? The new wine of the Spirit. The new wine of the Spirit must go into the new containers of grace. The old wine would be the law, and you cannot put the new wine in the container of the law. It would burst. So we are under a new dispensation. We are under grace, and that's what we are under. Jesus prayed all night, and he chose his 12 apostles, and my Lord, they are such a different group. They are not the people that we would choose today to be the 12 apostles of the Messiah. Today I'm looking at the Beatitudes according to St. Luke, and we have chapter 9, verse 20. Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Yours is the kingdom of God. Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God." What is it? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means to be one of the Anawim, one of the poor, and one of the ones that totally need Jesus, totally need God. They cannot get along without him. He is their only hope. He is their only refuge. He is their only Lord. So we see the Anawim, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is yours." We look at Zechariah and Elizabeth, part of the Anawim. We look at Mary, part of the Anawim. We look at Anna and Simeon, part of the Anawim. They just had their hope in God. They were completely dependent upon God, the poor in spirit. Then we see the people that Jesus chooses as apostles. You know, if Peter isn't part of the Anawim, he's the poor and needy one. And also his brother James, his brother Andrew, and then James and John that wanted to throw down fire in Samaria. Jesus always chooses the Anawim, the poor and the needy. Are you poor? I'm not talking about money today. Are you in absolute need of Jesus? You are part of the Anawim. I am part of the Anawim. I have no way out but Jesus Christ. I have no way in but Jesus Christ. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now. And you know, Matthew would say, for righteousness, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now. You shall be filled with joy. You shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Oh, I tell you, this is what Jesus promises. He does not promise arthritis. He promises persecution. I'll read it again. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you
and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Leap for joy when you're rejected. Leap for joy when they hate you. Leap for joy if they hate you because you belong to Jesus. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in a like manner did their fathers persecute the prophets. So, you know, if everyone says you're the best thing since sliced bread, you've got to say, you know what, I wonder what spirit I'm following. I am not part of the Anawim. I tell you, the broken, the poor, the needy, they're all part of the Anawim. The Anawim, the poor and needy of Yahweh. Then Jesus goes in the curses. Woe unto you that are rich now, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers speak of the false prophets. I tell you, if everyone says, oh, Father Tom is the best thing since sliced bread, I am not doing the will of God. I tell you, the very cross of Jesus Christ separates us. And we preach the cross, and we preach Christ, and we preach miracles, and people will think that we're crazy. As I said, the woman had a tumor on her breast, I believe, and it just melted away, and the doctor wanted to know what she did. And she said, we prayed. And the doctor said, I don't believe that. I'm a scientist. So the woman said, you don't have to believe it anyway, but it's true. You see, people will think that we're a little weird. I know that I am following the Lord because everyone doesn't particularly like me. I am a stone in their shoe. So I don't like that, to tell you the truth. I don't like to be a stone in somebody's shoe. But just because who I am and that I put Jesus first by grace, oh, by grace, I am being rejected. And that is the rejection that Christ calls us to. That is the cross of rejection, the cross of persecution. And then we go into verse 27. But I say unto you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Long will tell you, that's hard. How do you love your enemies, people that are throwing you down? I remember a long time ago when I was in my first year of theology, we were having a New Testament fest for the first exam, and it was very interesting, you see. I remember one person saying, wouldn't it be wonderful to know the scriptures like Tom DiLorenzo? And I'll never forget this man named Billy. He says, I wouldn't want to do anything like Tom DiLorenzo. Now, I'm in the room, and people are saying that, and you know, I just feel like a penny waiting for change. I'm in the room. But you know what happened? That night when I went to bed, I got on my knees before my chair, and I said, Jesus, teach me your love for him. I don't want to hate him, Lord. I don't want to hate him. He hurt me, but I don't want to hate him. So I left it. You know, I felt no hate for the guy anymore. But I will tell you that he was 1 year ahead of me, and he came to me in the library and said 4 years later, Tom, you were the greatest inspiration for me. I said, thank you very much, Bill. But you see, that's not the way it started. He started by disliking me. I wouldn't want to do anything like Tom DiLorenzo. Well, you know what? Tom DiLorenzo finds it hard to do things that he has anyway. I don't want anyone to be like me. We are all unique. And bless them that curse you, and pray for them despitefully who use you. Yes, pray for them. Don't spend too much time praying for them. Just pray an Our Father or a Hail Mary. Pray for them so that you don't learn to hate them. And unto you, unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes your cloak, forbid not him to take your coat as well. And this is difficult stuff, these Beatitudes. Someone who steals your coat, give him your cloak.
give him your coat. Besides, you know, somebody hits you in the face, turn the other cheek. That's very difficult. That's very difficult. That's why we need grace. We need grace. But we don't want to be a carpet that people step on us and use us like a dog. God doesn't call us to be used like dogs. He calls us to witness to Jesus Christ. It's all about witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just the way it is. And if you witness to Jesus, people are going to reject you. Give to every man that asks of you, and him that takes away from you goods, ask them not back. It's another hard one. As you would that men should do to you, do likewise to them. Yes, that you love your neighbor as yourself. For if you love them that love you, what credit is that? For even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to those that do good to you, what credit do you have? For even sinners do that the same. And if you lend to them that hope to receive back, what thanks do you have? For even sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. But love your enemies. How do we love our enemies? First of all, by beginning to pray for them, to admit that they are our enemies, and we pray for them. Not too long. One Our Father, one Hail Mary a day. You know, if some man has left you, you were married to him, and you feel hate toward him, start praying for him. Only one Our Father or one Hail Mary a day. Do not keep the times that you spend in a half an hour thinking of him, because I'm telling you, that only will cause you to hate him more. Just one simple prayer for someone who has hurt you, who has left you destitute. One simple prayer. Love your enemies. Do good to those. Lend, hoping nothing getting back. And your reward shall be great, for you will be showing yourself as children of the highest. For he is kind upon the thankful and upon the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. This is the whole thing. Merciful as your Father is merciful. We know the story that Jesus tells about somebody who is forgiven a large debt, and he rejoices, and then someone comes to him who owes him just a little bit, and he says, no, I want it all back. And Jesus says to the one that he forgave, you should have forgiven. You're going to be eaten up by your persecutors. I'm telling you, this is a different way of living. Loving your enemies, you know, loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you. This can only be done not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. That God would give us the Spirit to love and to forgive those that don't deserve forgiveness and love. That's just the way it is. Go only by my Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Then judge not, for you shall be judged. Condemn not, for you shall be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. I'm telling you, judging people means to judge their heart. I cannot judge anyone because I know nothing that's in their heart. Judging them, I cannot do. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. I don't want to condemn anybody. I don't know what's in their heart. That's the big thing, that God knows what's in their heart. And let God do the judging. Let God do the condemning. We did not die for these people. God died for me and for them. For them that I want to judge. For them that I want to condemn. God died for us. For the people that we do not like. For our enemies. Jesus gave his life not only for us, but for our enemies. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
See, our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
I remember the story that someone told me that their mother had a partial death experience, and God was there, Jesus was there, and Jesus says, you can't come here until you forgive your sister-in-law. Imagine. Forgive and it shall be forgiven. She went home out of the hospital. She was better, and she had to forgive the sister-in-law. Unfortunately, it took her so long. But once she forgave the sister-in-law, she was ready to go to heaven. That's amazing. That's amazing. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. We don't want to hold anything against people. We don't want to hold anything against people. What we hold against them, we hold against ourselves. Then the next one, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give. So the Lord tells us to give. That is one of the most important things that we do, that we give, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when we give, God sees that we are his children because he gave his only begotten Son. It says, give and you shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured back to you. That's forgiveness too. That's money three. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, I've really kind of laughed to think that people still put a dollar in the collection box. That's nothing. Even $5 is nothing. I tell you, people that are working should put in at least, if they're not tithing, at least $20. At least $20 if they're not tithing. If they're tithing, they should be giving much more. But you see, we always want to take care of ourselves. We say, we haven't got this to give. I tell you, I cannot afford not to give, because the Word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. This is the Lord's way. He calls us to be the image of Jesus. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we would be the image of Jesus. Now, we all share in that who have received the Holy Spirit, and we're all a different part of Jesus. You know, he's so wonderful. We can't be like him completely. But maybe my way is I give the way Jesus gives most of the time. You know, I don't hold anything against most people most of the time. Sometimes it takes me time to forgive. It's in God. It's in God we trust. That's why we pray a little Hail Mary or a little Our Father for those who have hurt us. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, and you do not see the beam that is in your own eye? Or why do you behold the speck in your brother's eye, and do not see the beam that is your own eye? Either how canst you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself behold that you have a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the beam of your own eye, and then shall you clearly pull out the speck that is in your brother's eye. You know, this is just real. The real stuff. This is like Christianity 101. You know, we cannot take from our brother or our sister the speck that's in their eye if we don't realize that we have a beam in our eye. So the Lord telling us the way it is, you know, he's not putting it in the sweet terms. He's speaking just the way he should be speaking, directly. Then he says, for a good tree brings forth good fruit,
A good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth bad fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs from thorns, nor from a bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For all out of the abundance of the heart has the mouth spoken.
Out of the abundance of the heart
speaks the mouth.
I tell you, what comes out of our mouth is connected to our heart. You know, if we're gossiping, our heart is rotten. Our heart is rotten. If we're gossiping and we're pulling down people, our heart is rotten. For out of the mouth flows that which is in the heart. What is in your heart? Listen to what you say today. Listen to your mouth. Let your mouth speak, because when you speak, my friends, it's what's in your heart. And your heart, my Lord, needs to be lanced with the grace of God. If you speak evil, if you speak judgment, if you speak condemnation, remember, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 46, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever shall come to me and hear my words and does them, I will show you who he is like. If you hear the words of the Lord and do them, he is like a man who built his house and digged it deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But you that hear my sayings and do not do it is like a man who has no foundation. He built his house upon the earth. Against the stream, it did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So we want to build our house on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. On the rock that is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. I also know Peter is the rock, but we want to build our house on the rock that is Jesus Christ, on the rock that is Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who is the Messiah of both Jew and Gentile. We want to wish our Jewish friends a blessed New Year. We have just passed Rosh Hashanah, and we want to say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you. May the Lord look upon you and give you his shalom. And that one day you will come to know Jesus Christ, the true Messiah of both Jew and Gentile. The true Messiah. How do I know? Because the Word of God tells me he would be led like a sheep before his slaughter. And we know who he is. His name is Jesus. And he was crucified for you and me. And he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. It is his blood that washes us clean. And as I read all these things, I say, you know, there are many parts of me that are imperfect. And the Lord wants to perfect them in me. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The spirit is the new wine, and the container is the wine full container of grace. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. Listen, I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. When it comes to paying bills to WEZE and WROL for the year, it's almost $100,000 for WEZE and WROL. $100,000. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. The address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I want to invite people out to the abortion mill, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Oh yes, just go there to pray. I understand that on Thursdays there's not anybody there. Just go there to pray. That's all you need to do is to pray there. And God will bless you. God will bless you. You know, we've seen all this stuff that this gas from Syria killed all these children. And I'm thinking, Obama's talking about all the children that have been killed in Syria. And I'm thinking, how many million children have been killed in the womb? I don't want anyone killed. No, that gas is evil. But what about in the womb? He has no idea about children in the womb. He has no idea that they are being taken from their mothers and being ripped apart. So Obama was talking last night about the children who were gassed. And I said, Obama, you do not know about the children today that have been taken out of their mother's womb. You do not know. You are a pro-death person. You know what I'm saying? Very simple. Very simple. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you all.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.